Okay, verse 3. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And so if you keep reading down a little further, Isaiah the prophet comes in. God tells Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, I heard your prayer. You did have a perfect heart. You're going to live 15 more years. So someone else in the Bible that was noted for having a perfect heart is David, King David, the father of Solomon. So let's take a look at we're in Kings. Go to 1 Kings chapter 11. I lied. Go to Acts chapter 13. Go to Acts chapter 13, please. Acts 13, verse 22. Okay, talking about David. Verse 22 says, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul, King Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Not the verse I was looking for, but that's good enough. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 11. That's the one that mentions perfect heart. So, but that's a big deal, right? God says that David has a heart after his heart. So let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 11. Still talking about David. Verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, this is the son of David, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Not a good thing. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So, David's called a man after God's own heart. He's noted as having a perfect heart. Hezekiah's noted as having a perfect heart. There are other people in the word as well. But the point I'm going for is, you know, this perfect heart, particularly in the Old Testament, where they didn't have Christ in them, Holy Spirit within them. It took effort. It took work. It wasn't automatic. You know, after we become God's kids, that's when we're born again. For instance, Jesus Christ becomes our advocate. That's an automatic thing, right? So Jesus Christ is automatically going to bat for us, making intercession for us to God. That's just kind of a thing that happens. We don't have to work towards it. This perfect heart that David and Hezekiah had, it took a lot of effort. So there's a lot of things that we have, thankfully, through grace and mercy. You know, if we fail, for instance, Christ automatically is our advocate working on our behalf. Not everything we have today as Christians comes automatically. So I'm thinking specifically about the renewed mind. So there are things that takes effort on our part, and the benefit is amazing. So let's go ahead and go to the verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It talks about the renewed mind. Read a little bit about that. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, be not molded to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I've heard said before that the only way to prove what's good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God, is by renewing your mind. And so, it's also been called the key to power, renewing the mind, the key to so many things. By adjusting our mind to God's will and God's word, what results from that? Well, some things we've mentioned already. Joy is one thing, right? Catherine mentioned it. I gave the example of my time on vacation. You know, joy comes often when you change your thinking to the will and the word of God. It's not always automatic. Another thing that takes effort that comes from the renewed mind, it's kind of a big one, too, actually. Love and forgiveness. And in the Bible, I didn't really look into these in great depth, but forgiveness is at times tied with freedom from bondage, with freedom from sickness, But love and forgiveness are things that really take efforts on our parts. Having kids, you know, you got to be forgiving sometimes. You know, being in a relationship takes forgiveness sometimes. It takes love all the time. And we're God's kids, and we're also in the same body of Christ as a family. So we're going to have some of those opportunities to love and forgive each other. We should take it. And again, that's an act of the renewed mind. Right? And so one other thing that takes a renewed mind, and the benefit is huge, is believing. Right? Accepting God's word is true and relying upon it. You know, it's huge. I mean, that's one thing that God requires of us, is to believe. Right? It takes effort sometimes. Sometimes less than others or more than others, depending on the situation. But so there's a lot of things that we have automatically as Christians. It's really awesome. I'm thankful for all of them, obviously. But some things take effort. I'm thankful for those as well, because God says that we should do these things. He commands us to believe. And then the result is always great when you believe God's will and God's word. All right, so let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Bless you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I think Debbie actually said this in her prayer this morning. I was pretty happy to hear it. This is a great one. This is one that I kind of repeat to myself every single day. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not compartmentalize and keep some for yourself and some for this guy and some for this person. You know, it's trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Right? You give it all to God. And another big one, right? And lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, it's kind of hard. You know, sometimes there are things that we're expected to do ourselves. But there are things that we should totally just give to God and let him, as verse 6 is going to say, direct us. Verse 6, in all thy ways, not in some of your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge or thank God. You know, acknowledge him. And he shall make your path straight or direct your path. You know, so that crooked path that we may experience day to day at work or in life or whatever, God can make that straight when we trust in him and rely on him. We should practice that. You know, try to really change our thinking to do the will of God and try to put ourselves, if we're in situations that require God's help, which most situations I'm in do, try it. It's a really simple verse that we're probably super familiar with, but if you remind yourself of this on a regular basis, which you probably do, it's going to yield awesome benefits. I promise. God promises. All right, so I mentioned at the beginning of the teaching that we're going to look at some of the intangibles and the tangibles. Let's take a look at some of those intangibles. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Again, the title of the teaching is Being Thankful. So there's a lot to be thankful for. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. So this falls in the category of an intangible, but it's still a blessing. I'm going to read verse 1 through 10. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's a time when, you know, we weren't, you know, God's kids. It may have been, you know, however long that time was. But the cool thing about God's word is typically in the epistles, whenever God points out who we were, he often tells us who we currently are now. So verse 3, among whom we all... whom also we all had our conversation, our citizenship in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, you know, God's rich in the thing that we need the most, you know, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So God is rich in mercy, and in verse 7 he's also exceeding rich in grace, right? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained. I skipped over a verse, actually, and it was 1 John 3. Yeah. 1 John. So you don't go there, but 1 John 3, 2 says, let me get there myself, actually. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So we're sons of God now. God made that available to us. We are that now. But what I like about this verse also is the first word, beloved, right? It's what God calls us. We're beloved. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says we're to be imitators of God, to be just like him. And if God calls us beloved, I was thinking we should call each other beloved as well. We should think of each other that way. And beloved is just, you know, we are being loved, right? In other words, we have value, we have worth. God's found us valuable. You know, he sent a son for us. So if that's what God calls us, we should definitely see each other the same way. All right. All right. So take a look at a couple more verses. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So as far as the tangibles, or I guess the intangibles, we're God's kids, we're his workmanship, his masterpieces. Yeah, so we're looking at Christ coming back right now. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, we're going to read the last 8 verses. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So these bodies that we have, they're going to be changed. We're going to get new bodies when Christ returns. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So we're going to get new bodies when Christ comes back. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So death is going to be done away with, and we're going to be victorious because of what God's promised. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So we're going to have victory over death at some point. Christ is coming back for us. So we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, just knowing that it's not in vain and Christ is coming back for us. So I'm thankful for that. You know, that's something to definitely be thankful for, that we can look forward to the future, that we'll get new bodies, we're going to defeat death, thanks to God. But that's something we don't have right now. It's a promise, right? So that's an intangible. Let's look at a couple of things we can actually see right now. So let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 45. Okay. Here's something that we can see every day, that we do see every day when it's not cloudy outside. Verse 45, "That ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." So you've got the sun rising every day. You got the rain falling on the just and the unjust every day. Let's take a look at the context of this and see what it's talking about. So let's jump back to verse 38 and see what this is talking about. This is Jesus Christ talking. If you hadn't noticed, it's all in red for those who were wondering. In case you need a visual cue. Verse 38. "Ye have heard that it have been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Right? Someone does something bad to you, you do something bad to them back. But I say unto you, verse 39, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, give him your shirt also. It's the other way around. Take away your shirt, give him your jacket also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go two. You know, go with them twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Right? Verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Whoa. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. That's a really good way to look at things, right? I mean, we have God helping us in all that we do. We have God's word to go to. We have an access to both God and his word. We have Jesus Christ as our advocate. We have the renewed mind that gives us access to joy, believing, love and forgiveness. And that's one of the things that I'm teaching on today. There's a lot more you can find in here. Plus what we all went around the room and talked about today as well. There is so much to be thankful for. Just wanted to remind you guys of that. So let's close in Lamentations. Yeah, the clean part of your Bible. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. So after Jeremiah. Chapter 3. So Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. We're going to look at one more reason to be thankful to God. Verse 22, it says, let's see. So I've got two. I'm going to read the King James Version, also the New American Standard Bible Version. But it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And from the NASB, it's the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. All right, so God's a faithful God. If he says it, he's going to do it. If he promised it, it's going to happen. We have access to so much through renewing our minds. So, oh yeah, one more thing about the relationship with God, too, is if things ever seem like they're not going well, like God's not answering your prayer, or it seems that way, or things just aren't going the way we would like them to go, and God being a faithful God, you know, he never leaves the relationship, ever, right? So, the last time I was here, Connie taught on patience. Sometimes it just takes patience, you know? And sometimes it just requires looking in the Word. But, you know, I've heard that said before, God wants the things you want more than you do, in some cases. And, you know, according to his will, of course. But, yeah, God never leaves us or forsakes us, so he's always there. So if there's something that we have need of or desire or pray for, you know, God's wanting it too for us. So, you know, renewing the mind sometimes is that key to get to that to power, I guess. So thanks, God, for your word, Heavenly Father. Thank you for being a loving, forgiving, awesome God that we can be so thankful for, God. You do so much for us. You've done so much for us, God. There's so much promised to us, coming, as well as, you know, this being the day that you've made that we will rejoice and be glad in, and so much more, Heavenly Father. I thank you that we can see ourselves as beloved like you do. We can see ourselves as being fully equipped and having everything we need from you, and that, you know, if you be for us, no one can be against us. I thank you, God, that there's so much in your word that we have to know how confident and how awesome you are, and how you've made so much available to us. And so we just should walk through this life as victorious people, knowing that we're also going to have victory over death in the future, and just so much, God. So thank you for all that you do, all that you have done, and just how awesome you are. And for the opportunity to share the word today, too. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Yeah, thanks.